morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. We do have gifts for you guys out in the back, so make sure you don't leave without one. We have some little tackle boxes, and then you just kind of go through and grab a few things on the table. It's labeled, but I'll be out there to help if you need it. And then we have a little photo booth, so take a picture with your family, your kids, your friends, and just have a little fun today on Father's Day. We have no Wednesday night Bible study this week due to camp meeting, so hopefully if you're able, you guys can get over there for the service. Thursday, they're going to be honoring Pastor Logan. Friday, I keep getting the, we said Thursday, I think last week. It's Friday, they're honoring all the MIP and all the people who went through that, so Pastor Logan and Kira and Pastor Brian and Sean will be honored. So if you can make it to a service, make it to that one. But if you can make it to any, it'll be worth your time. And so, yeah, that takes care of that service. We're asking everybody to come to one of the services. They start at 7, but they're asking people to be there a little early. And then morning sessions, if you can make it, start at 9:30. And then we're still asking about the radio fund to keep that going. You can mark your check radio or see Lois about that. And then Evangelist Terry Davis is going to be with us Sunday, June 25th, and he's going to preach our morning service. And we're also going to have a Sunday night service at 6 p.m. So invite someone to that, and that'll be a good time. And then no VBS, unfortunately. I didn't get too much feedback on it, and I just want to thank those that were willing to help. But mainly, the main reason is we don't know what's going to be going on with Pastor's dad, and you know, we're supposed to get some news about that this week, but we just don't want to have a week set where we may have to jet to Montana, and so just because of that, we're not going to do VBS. But I'm hoping we can get our Virginia crew back here maybe next summer, and they can help with that, because that was an awesome time. So no VBS, but thank you to those who offered to help with that.
Heavenly Father, God, I pray over the service today, Father. God, that you would grant me strength today, Father, to bring forth this word. God, I pray for the fathers out there, God, that they would hear your word and be encouraged, Father, that they would know that you are drawing them to you, that you long, God, to continue to shape, to mold them into the image of Christ. Father, for those whose hearts are heavy today, God, maybe they're missing an earthly father, I pray over them as well, God. Father, may you bring comfort and peace. May we be edified and encouraged by this sermon. And may everything that's said and done bring glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The sermon for today is called Being a Man of God. And I want to say, first off, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. But today we're going to look at what it means to be a man of God. And I used to hate hearing Father's Day sermons, and I used to hate preaching Father's Day sermons, because it seems like no matter what, we don't feel like we measure up. We feel like we fall so far short. And I don't know about you, but as a dad, as a father, I know very deeply where I don't measure up. And so my prayers is that you would not hear that today, but you would hear a gentle call from your Heavenly Father to pull you into becoming more and more of a godly father as we grow in this life. That being said, I want to talk about two examples really quick of men of God in my life that have greatly influenced me. The first is my dad, of course. He's not a perfect man, but he has very much so been a godly man. And his life and the way that he lived his life before the Lord has greatly impacted me. So all the good that you see in me came from him, and all the bad that you see did not come from him. It didn't come from my mom by any means, but it did not come from him. But another man of God that has greatly impacted me is Charles Spurgeon, and he was saved at the age of 15 in a little Methodist church, worlds apart from his congregational upbringing, by an unnamed and unlearned itinerant preacher. Nobody even knows his name. But he preached a text and led Spurgeon to salvation in Christ, and later that year, Charles Spurgeon became a member of the Baptist Church and began preaching at the age of 16. He began to pastor just 4 years after his conversion with no official theological training. And in his 62 years of living, 47 of which were as a Christian, Spurgeon preached over 3,600 sermons and published 49 volumes of commentaries, devotions, anecdotes, illustrations, and sayings. He also preached regularly to over 10,000 people without the use of a microphone. That has to be God. I couldn't even preach in this room without the use of a microphone. So only heaven will tell the full impact of his life and how he lived it before the Lord. But the thing that impresses me the most about him is not how many sermons he preached or the volume of writing that he did. It's the fact that he did all of that in the midst of severe and debilitating depression. Depression that was so thick sometimes he couldn't get out of bed, that he could not move. And so that inspires me, because sometimes I think when we look at great men of God, we feel like they are perfect, like they just don't go through things, like they don't suffer or battle anything. And I want to tell you that I think the reason that most of the men of God that I know that have greatly impacted my life are the way they are is because they've walked through some horrible things. And so I want to kind of switch from that and look at Caleb for a minute. Just to catch us up to where we're going to start in our text. By this time in Jewish history, God has used Moses to redeem the Israelites. He's pulled them out of Egypt. They've walked through the Red Sea, and he's destroyed the Egyptian army behind them. He led them to Mount Sinai, where God gave them the Ten Commandments. And now Moses has led them to the Jordan River, and on the other side of the river was their new home, the Promised Land. And so they've kind of already gone through this journey, and they had dreamed about this for centuries. They had dreamed about being free, about having a place of their own. And as they get to this Jordan River, before God allows them to cross over into the Promised Land, he sends out 12 spies, one from each tribe of Israel. They were in the land for 40 days, and they checked things out, and they came back, and 10 of these men had a negative report, and all they could talk about was a land filled with giants, and that there was no way that they could possibly beat them. And two men, Joshua and Caleb, had a completely different report. They talked about the beauty of the land and how prosperous the land was, and they understood that because God had called them to the Promised Land, that they could, with God's help, overtake those that were there. And at this moment, the people of God have a choice to make. Caleb and Joshua have delivered the report, but it's 2 against 10. And I don't know about you, but usually the majority rules in most situations. And so the people, as we know, respond negatively. But the beautiful thing about Joshua and Caleb is that they didn't give in to that. They didn't join the complainers. They didn't switch their idea. They didn't allow men to talk them into something other than what God had shown them. They chose to be firm and to be bold. And I want to say that becoming a man of God does not just happen overnight. You don't just wake up and all of a sudden you're a man of God. It takes intentionality. It takes purpose. It takes striving to be a man of God. And so I want to look at what inspired these two men, what we can learn from them, and what makes a difference in the life of a man of God compared to other men. The first is that a man of God has divine resources. In Numbers 14, 20 through 24, we read the following. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Verse 24 says that Caleb was different because he had a different spirit in him. And I don't want us to miss the importance of this statement. We all know people that complain about everything, right? I am not going to ask you to point to anybody in this church if they do that. Don't do that. But we've met people, right? Every time you talk to them, it's a complaint about something. And then you talk to them again, it's a complaint about something different. And every setback and every difficulty that comes their way, they complain about it. But then there's other people that no matter what comes their way, they seem to take it in stride. They don't complain. They're not passive. They're not apathetic. But they just understand that not everything that happens in life is worth complaining about. And what's the difference? The difference is that it's the spirit that's in a man that makes a difference. If you will, think for a minute about two balloons, one that's filled with water and one that's filled with helium. The one that's filled with water doesn't move. It just sits on the floor. You can tie it to a chair. It's not going to matter. It's not going to move. It's not going to pull against its cord. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to sit there unless somebody picks it up and moves it. But the one that's filled with helium will rise to stretch its cord. If you don't tie it down, it will go as far up into the heavens as it can get. And it strains towards heaven. That's the difference with men of God. Men of God strain towards heaven. They don't want to be tethered to the ground in the same way that those that don't know the Lord are. And so We have to be men of God that pursue God in a way that is greater than pursuing anything else in this world. In John 3, 3 through 5, Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Elsewhere, Paul commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to say that you can never be all that God has called you to be without that fullness of his Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit is a divine resource given to God, to men of God, to become more godly men. The question that you need to ask yourself today is, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? And I would ask that if you are not, that you pursue the Lord with everything that he has, that you accept from him the gifts that he's given, and that you pursue a life that honors him through that. So a man of God has divine resources, and a man of God acts differently than others. In Numbers 14:24, again, looking at this verse, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Something else in verse 24, it says that Scripture says that Caleb followed the Lord fully. It doesn't say that about these other men. They did not. And so as men, we know where we don't measure up. We don't usually need somebody to tell us, but what happens is when we get to a point where somebody does come and tell us where we don't measure up, if you're like me, the first thing you do is get defensive. I can't believe I admitted that publicly. Jessica, you're not allowed to use what I say back here against me. But we get defensive. I put my walls up. I can become dismissive. And so what I want us to do today as men is to not get to that point, to understand that if we won't put our defenses up, we'll be moved to a place different than where we are, and it's a good place. In Caleb, there was no hypocrisy. He wasn't somebody that followed the Lord when it mattered and then made friends with the people when it mattered that way. He wasn't somebody that you know, played it easy or safe or that only served God because he was surrounded by church people that loved God. He was somebody that stood with one other person in front of a midst of a multitude and held his ground. He's somebody that believed that God could do what God said he would do, that understood that the promises that God had made were promises that he would keep, and so he pushed into that. He followed the Lord completely, and what we need to do is we need to become men that follow the Lord completely, and it doesn't, again, happen overnight. And so if you're not there, if you're struggling, if you feel like you got one foot in, one foot out, I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged that God can pull you all the way in, that God is really, really, really good at taking nobodies and making them somebodies, and taking people that aren't awesome and brilliant according to the world standards and moving through them. So be encouraged that no matter where you sit today, God can and will use you. It's time that we seek other men that we can become brothers with, that we can all stand up and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Because I promise you, it's not going to get easier to do this. It's going to get harder. The more that comes against what it means to be a man and what it means to be a father, and you know, our children are learning and being taught that you be a man different than how we were taught. And so at some point in time, there's going to become not just a crisis, if it's not already here, between how to be a man, but there's going to be a crisis of how to be a father. And on top of that, it's going to be an even bigger crisis of how to be a godly father. And so the example that we lead and the lives that we lead will leave a legacy for our children to push into or pull away from. We need to be men that push in, that our kids can see us follow the Lord, that they don't just hear us say good things, that they see our lives following the Lord. Whatever the Lord called Caleb to do, he did it. He carried grapes, huge grapes, from Canaan. Manual labor was not beneath him. He did not shrug. He did not say, "I'm better than that." He did not say, "Have some of these other guys carry it." He put the burden on his shoulder and he carried it. He was ready to be used by God in any place that God had him. And a lot of times God tests you at the bottom to make sure you're faithful there before he brings you to the top. Luke 16:10 says, who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. If you're in a place today where you feel like God hasn't given you much, or you feel like you don't have what everybody else has, be faithful in what you do have and watch what God will do with that. Jesus came to serve and not be served, and so that needs to be the mindset behind all men that seek to follow the Lord completely. The other aspect is that men of God follow the Lord cheerfully. I've met people before in my life that claim to be believers that act like somebody just took their best friend away. It's like, are you a Christian?
Yes.
You love the Lord?
Yes.
It's like they have to. And I just want to say, your kids get excited about what you get excited about, right? Unless they're like an opposite football team or something like that. But for the most part, what you're excited about makes your kids happy. And so are you excited about serving the Lord? Because if you walk around and you act like it's just an absolute obligation to serve the Lord, your kids probably aren't going to want much to do with that. But if they see the abundance of joy and the overwhelming amount of strength that comes from having the joy of the Lord and how what God has done for us in Christ is so worth celebrating and praising and worshiping Him for. And so let's let them see that side of us. Let's let them see the side of us where if God calls us to do some menial task, we don't begrudgingly do it, where we serve cheerfully. Because we have these signs up here, these two signs. I don't know if you can see them. They say joy. And there's one on either side of me, which I greatly appreciate because I have OCD. So thank you, Michelle. That works out good. If you serve with joy, it'll be contagious. Right? If your kids can see your passion that you have for the Lord, they'll catch on. Not only that, but other people will see it and want to know. And so I want to be really clear here for a minute. And I am trying not to make this a hard sermon because, like I said, I don't. No father wants to come to church on Father's Day and be beat up and kicked out the door. I've done that a couple times. It didn't work out so well, so I'm trying to do something different this time. But at the same time, God does not need slaves to work in His kingdom. If you're only serving out of obligation, that's not how He wants you to serve. He doesn't need slaves to serve or slaves to serve His throne. He's the Lord of the empire of love. He wants men, women, and children that will serve Him cheerfully and willingly. Jesus said that He would build His church and He can do it without the complainer's labor or the miser's money. And so there's something to be said about joyfully serving the Lord. It is an honor and a privilege to be a Christian. I'll say it again. It's an honor and a privilege to be a Christian.
Amen.
I'm going to be good to take care. Instead of acting like it's a burden, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. Nothing else matters in this world other than the fact that I can call Jesus my Savior, God my Father, and that I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we need to learn how to serve cheerfully, but it also means that we're going to act differently than others do, and I feel compelled today to tell you that it's okay to act differently. Not only is it okay, but with God's call on your life, you probably are going to have to act differently than those that are not called by God. To follow the Lord completely, we need to follow Him cheerfully, and we need to follow Him constantly. In Joshua 14:6-12, we read the following. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." He had followed the Lord constantly, and in becoming a man of God, he learned how to follow the Lord constantly. 45 years after Caleb had gone in as a spy, he was still following the Lord. And that's with all the years that God walked the children of Israel through the wilderness. He didn't join the complainers. He didn't turn his back on God. He didn't question and wonder why in the world he had to suffer the same fate as those that did complain. At 85, you would think that he would be retired, enjoying lemonade on the porch, sitting in his rocking chair, reminiscing about the days of old, but Caleb was still ready to get to work in the Lord's kingdom. At 85 years old, he was ready for the next challenge, and he was ready because he knew who God was, and he knew the promises that God had made. Caleb followed the Lord faithfully, and in becoming men of God, we need to learn to follow him faithfully. And what I mean by that is that we need to learn to follow the Lord with faith, and you might think that that's just common sense and common knowledge, and it is, but if you're like me, I'm a very analytical person. I like things to make sense. I like them to be in order. I like there to be a vast amount of reasoning before I make decisions. And the problem is that faith doesn't really work in that realm a whole awful lot. That's a very safe realm. So what I mean is that we need to have the faith that moves us beyond the analytical. We need to know the difference when, yes, we're to count the cost and we're to do those things, but we're also to step out of the boat, which is a completely unanalytical thing. So when God calls us to something that involves faith, we need to be men that are not afraid to take those steps of faith. When the spies returned from Canaan, they talked about the giants and the fortified cities and how they couldn't possibly overcome them. Caleb spoke about the land flowing with milk and honey, and he remembered the chains of Egypt and the mercies of God. He remembered that God had parted the Red Sea, and he remembered that God had walked them through the wilderness and that he had supernaturally provided for them, that they had food to eat and that he cared for them, that he had water come out of a rock. And so Caleb chose instead to realize that God had already proven himself well before they ever got to the promised land. But for Caleb, it wasn't a matter of, will God do it? It was, God's already done it. And that's a huge difference. So men, if you want to be used by God, you have got to follow with faith. When difficulties arise, when finances are tight, when sickness hits the home, when trouble comes, when opportunities arise, you need to be men that are willing to speak up, remembering how God has provided, remembering what God can do, remembering who God is. We serve a miracle-working, loving God. And I want to just be blunt. If God did not do anything else for you the rest of your life than what he's already done, it's still enough. It still makes him a miracle-working God. The fact that God can reach down and take people who would not choose him and turn their hearts and forgive them. Romans 5 very clearly says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it says that while we were still enemies of God, that Christ died for us. And so if God can do that, that is more than enough. It's definitely more than we deserve. So even if God never, ever does another thing for you the rest of your life, he's still good and he's still God. Beautiful thing is that God does so much more than we can ask or think. Amen. A man of God has divine resources. A man of God acts differently than other people. And a man of God enjoys rewards that others miss. In Numbers 14:24 again, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." A few verses later, 36 to 38, it says, "Now the men whom Moses sent to spy the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land." The first reward that you get from being a man of God is salvation. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You will be honored. And I don't mean this in a negative, egotistical, self-serving, self-seeking way. You will be honored. God will honor you. God will save your life. He'll bring you honor. And in the beginning, the people made fun of Caleb. They rallied against him. They didn't believe him. But I promise you that the more they walked through that desert and the more people fell, the fact that Joshua never, or that Caleb never lost his strength, never got tired, never complained, probably stood out more and more and more. When they get back to the Jordan River again, Caleb is held in high esteem and high honor because the people know that God has validated his story above the 10 others. All those people that complained and that gave a bad report, their carcasses are strung all over in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb were the two that were different. They were God's men. You will be remembered, and this is not to puff up your ego, it's not flattery. We're all going to be remembered one way or another, for good or for bad. Because of the life that Caleb lived, he was given hard tasks, he was given the hard assignments, and it was tasks no one else could handle. Scripture says that there were three huge warriors in Mount Hebron that no one else would face. They were giants that had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. They had to be driven out so that God's people could possess the land. And you know who chose to do it? Caleb. You know who defeated him? Caleb. Caleb did it because he walked with the Lord. And so, men, I want to be honest with you. There's going to be giants that you have to face and beat so your family can go where God needs them to go. Being a man of God does not give you the liberty or the option to sit back and watch somebody else do it. It's your option. It's your responsibility. It's your obligation. As you walk with the Lord, you'll be given difficult tasks, and they might seem like they're mountains full of giants, but I promise you, if God has called you there and God has said to go, he will carry you through. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you," this is Jesus talking, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We all know difficulties come. I don't think there's anybody here that's not living with difficulties right now. As you serve the Lord faithfully, you will leave a legacy that will not only be one that people remember that's good, it will be one that people remember that's godly. And your children and your grandchildren and so on and so forth will know that you were a man of God. You'll leave an inheritance for them to follow. We should all strive to leave a godly inheritance for our children. And can you imagine Caleb's children, the stories that they had? How awesome it was that he chose to follow the Lord and not give in the will of men. How they could say, I mean, if my goodness, if something were to happen to me and I was to pass and Jessica could tell my children or my children could tell their grandchildren and he fully followed the Lord, to me that would be, there's nothing better. There's not one thing better than that. Outside of hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that would top that. But Caleb was a man of God worth imitating and modeling our lives after. He is a type and shadow that points to Jesus himself, who fully and faithfully followed God. And we need to live our lives the way that Paul says we can. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." You may not feel like you're there yet, and that's okay. But don't stop. Keep pushing. For those men of you that are here today, whether you're a father or grandfather, maybe you're just starting out to be a father, maybe you've been a father for more years than most of us have been alive, the issue of God, the call of God, is the same. He's looking for men that will take up their cross and follow him. He's looking for men that will walk with him constantly, that will not follow the world, that will not go to the right or left, that won't have one foot in and one foot out. He's looking for men that will invest their lives in something that will last for generations to come. Not men that are building a kingdom on earth, but men that are helping build the kingdom of God. He's looking for those that are willing to become and continue to become godly men. I'm going to ask if you're here today and you're a father, if you would come forward. You need to stand in front here. And if you need to sit, there's room up here to sit too, if you'd rather do that. But then, for those men that are up here, if your wives are here, would you come and stand behind them, please? And so, gentlemen, you'll have to step forward. Pretty good looking group of fellows, I can tell you that. And then, if there's people up here that don't have somebody behind them, if the rest of the church, if you would come, and don't let any man be up here without anybody behind him. But I want to pray over all you gentlemen today that God would help us in this day and age to be godly men. It's hard enough to be good husbands and good fathers, just in the general sense. But it's getting harder and harder to make a stand, to stand strong, to be men of God, that are not afraid to stand against what the world's trying to do, that are not afraid to say, I know the world is saying this, but God says this. And so, ladies that are behind these men, if you would just, if you want to pray out loud, you can. But, gentlemen, God has called each and every one of you to follow him. To follow him fully. Follow him with purpose. Follow him with passion. You might have just got your toes wet, or you might feel like you've walked with the Lord so long, there's nothing new for you to discover. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always with you. Through every storm you face, he is the God of the storms. Every obstacle you come against, with him, you can overcome. The most beautiful thing is that the very final obstacle that we all face is death, and he's already overcome that. I want to encourage you to pour into your families, pour into your children, because I guarantee you somebody's going to. Children are not empty cups. They are cups that are being filled. Your wife is not an empty cup. She's a cup that's being filled. And so you allow God to pour into you till you overflow. And out of that abundance, you pour into your family. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for each and every man that is here. God, as I look across this front, I'm humbled to know these men as brothers in Christ. God, I thank you for their various personalities, the various gifts that you've given them. God, I thank you for how each and every one brings something different to the table. But God, I pray that you would strengthen these men. God, that you would pull them up, that you would allow them to hold their heads high. God, that you would again just reaffirm to them the calling that you have placed on them. God, that you have made them the head of their household. God, that you have put them in a place where so much of what they do affects how you are seen in the eyes of their wives and in the eyes of their children. So God, give us grace, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Holy Spirit, may you help each and every one of the fathers here today to become more godly men, to never be okay with where we are right now, but to always know that there's more of you that we can always have. Help us to be men that passionately pursue you in all things. God, for the areas that we are weak, would you strengthen us? And God, the areas that are our strengths, would you help keep us humble? God, I thank you for these men. I praise you for these men. Help us to stand together against the enemy for ourselves, for our families, for this church, and for this community. Holy Spirit, may you work in each and every one as only you can. In Jesus' name.